in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you
a quick roundup of and
also
the Lever Art Prize 2010.
Plus,
are you touched?
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News. News this week. The news from Art in Liverpool is what, Ian?
Yeah, there's been two items just hot off the press, just announced today. One is the Lever Art Prize 2010. They've announced a shortlist, and they'll do the actual awards early next year. I think you were there when we went at the awards early this year, which was held at Tate, Liverpool, because it's normally held at the winners of the previous year. So Tate must have won it in last year. And this year we went to Tate and it was awarded to the Football Museum in Preston, which maybe this is things of poison chalice because now the Football Museum in Preston is going to close and move to Erebus in Manchester. So the shortlist has been announced and it is as follows. The Noise Festival, which is a national thing, but I think they might split up the region, so like the Northwest region, which has been very active the last few years. Good Noise Festival for people, I think it's up to age 25 or something. The Whitworth Art Gallery in Manchester, the Liverpool and Merseyside Theatres Trust, otherwise known or better known as the Everyman and Playhouse, and Future Everything CIC, which used to be known as Future Sonic.
They were shortlisted last year, weren't they?
That's right, yes, they were there at the announcements early this year. And didn't make it, so maybe it'll be their chance next year, we'll see.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, it was Preston North End, it was the museums at Preston North End. I think we were at the, it was announced at the Tate. That was a really nice event. So Future Sonic, Drew was there. They did miss out last year, but hopefully this year it'll be an arts organisation from the Northwest.
they get a £10,000 cash prize and other stuff. It's funded by Lever and Northwest Business Trust.
Yeah, they also get like mentoring from the Northwest business sector, business leaders.
That's right, yes, yeah, which presumably helps. I believe it's quite a, you have to do an awful lot of work to get shortlisted, though. I think Drew was telling us this last year, wasn't he? Early this year. So it's pretty hard work to get shortlisted, but then you get business advice and so on afterwards.
That's news item number one. What's news item number two? What's this about?
Touched. Yeah.
Are you touched, Ian? Like my beautiful singer at the top of the show there. I've come over all radio DJ.
Yeah, that was pretty good actually. Yeah, I was quite impressed with that. We don't know if it's a real song or you just made it up. But it sounds good. The Liverpool Biennial next year, 2010. They've just announced that the theme or motto or whatever is touched. So if you go to the website now, you'll see all about it. Doesn't say much. It says, can art touch you? Can art touch a city? And if you go to the website, it's encouraging you to register your details on there, so they'll keep you up to date via email. Hopefully I don't need to do that. I already get their emails. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you have to register again just to make absolutely sure we don't miss out on anything.
You know what data protection's like, don't you, Ian?
That's right, yes, I know all about that. Touch. It's like past year, it's got different meanings. Can artwork touch you emotionally? Artwork can also be tactile, and you can touch it sometimes, sometimes not. Actually, I was thinking about that. Visual art doesn't move me emotionally as much as other art forms myself. I don't stand in front of a painting and burst into tears. Some people do. Sometimes it can amuse me. I can laugh maybe out loud at some artwork. It's moving, but I find music or film can actually bring a tear to my eye, whereas visual art doesn't for me personally. But so it's an interesting thing to debate.
I think my artwork, my pictures, I've often seen people walk up to them and then just get on their knees and start crying and banging the ground. Yeah, oh my god. It's But no, I think you're right. I think it can move you. I think visual arts can move you. I think it can touch you. I think it's touched very many people, and it's kind of like, it's your definition of what is visual art, because visual art is around us. It is everything that we see. It is everything that we do. It's kind of like, you know, from the shape of your kettle to the design of your TV upon which you're watching the movie, which is moving you so much.
Oh, right. Yes. You lost me there.
Good. I'm glad I did. It's just one of those things. It's that question about visual arts is, you know, design, architecture, visually. It's what I like, a nice bit of poetry myself.
Yeah, and that can be, again, even more. I mean, yeah, poetry is all about emotions, isn't it? Really, I suppose people turn to poetry when they're at emotional moments like birth and death and so on.
Just to make them feel worse. No one knows why.
Yeah. No, we can. I must quote this, just talk about poetry. I just remember we went to the film All Tomorrow's Party, and John Cooper Clarke featured in it, and he reminded me of this haiku that I heard many years ago. Haiku is that thing where it's a Japanese thing, you can only use 17 syllables, and he did this haiku years ago, which goes, to convey one's mood in 17 syllables is really diffy.
Okay. I like that. That's very good. Well remembered as well. It's brilliant. And of course, I haven't got an example. Can art touch you? It started a bit of debate here, Ian. It's already going. Can art touch you? Obviously, we believe it can.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully, these themes that the Biennale come up with, it's not like a very strict thing. It's an element in there that the artists are fairly free to do whatever they want, really. So it'll be interesting to see always interesting anyway, but yeah, what'll be touchable or touching in next year's biennial?
Sorry, I keep on thinking of Nina Simone's Do I Move You? And obviously that's not the same, but it's very powerful. Music, of course, very powerful. Anyway, that is the news this week. Rounding up the week, and what a week it was. That was the week that was, and festival, all sorts of very many splendid things taking place. Probably too many, many splendid things to actually mention them all. In other words, don't try and mention them all, Ian. But let's just touch on some of the highlights briefly.
Yes, Abandon Normal Devices. Finished now. It was only 4 or 5 days, wasn't it? Mainly film. We got to see a few films, but other things as well in the public spaces. I've just put a list down here of some of the things we saw. There was a thing on the big screen, The Hand from Above, which was really fun.
I've got that. I went and did that. Did you go and do that?
Yeah. So we've got like a picture of me being tickled on the screen and other people. Yeah, it's great. You're just walking across in front of a big screen and this big hand appears on the screen and it sort of tweaks you with its finger. Sometimes it would zap somebody and make on the tweak. That only happened quite rarely. But didn't actually pick anybody up. But it was great fun. And the public were just... loved it. They stop and enjoy, wait to be tickled and have a good laugh. It was interesting. Very clever.
Very clever indeed. I did go and have a laugh myself and go, oh yeah. It took ages for the hand to get around to tickling me, and I was just kind of going, I just felt really jealous while I was standing there. Going, come on, tickle me. Come on. It's not fair.
Yeah, quite often it seems to do it where just as people gave up and started walking away, and then they'd be walking off screen, it would come up behind them and then. Yeah, and it was almost as if they could feel us because they'd turn around. So that was good. And outside the front, in fact, there was this thing called a water piano. I think it's Peter Appleton. I think he's involved in Sound Network and things like that. Who did this thing, which is just a bowl with like the inside of a cheap sort of Chinese toy piano. Which just made very basic tinkling noises, and there was water would come down and a thing would spin round and spray the water across these like chimes, and it would just make a nice gentle tinkling noise with the water hitting the piano bit, and just very nice. It's difficult to hear above the noise of the traffic and people going in and out of fact, but that was very nice, and it lit up the night as well. Also outside fact, and also in other venues, was the War Veteran Vehicle, which is a lot more serious. Polish artist did this, and it was audio. He interviewed soldiers that had come back from Iraq and maybe Afghanistan as well, about the war and readjusting to life after coming back. And so that was very moving and serious. And so, as so the words were projected onto the wall outside FACT, and then also onto the cathedral and the place at Man Island as well. And so but you'd hear the words, and then there'd be some sound of gunshot, and that was just very serious and moving.
It was a very good piece, wasn't it? I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, it was very good, and a lot of people just stop and ask what it was all about, and stop and watch it. Yeah, it was good. Then again, on the lighter side, Strange Attractors, and this is still on. This is part of Anne, but I think it's going to continue for a while. At the back of FACT in Art House Square, it's called, that big square opposite the FACT Cafe, where it's a light thing, and the light somehow latches onto the people in the square.
Thermal.
Thermal detection, isn't it? So it detects the heat of the people, and so it would. Somehow the light would latch onto the people and then join them up into different shapes. So there'd be lines going from across, joining the people up. And then as you moved around, it would follow you and make a circle or other shapes, star shapes. And so it would just follow you around, and then it would stop and then do another pattern and so on. And so people just move around and jump up and down and lie down and or dance, whatever. And they're really, so the people become the artwork as well. It's great. And so you could see yourself. This was projected up onto the big side of FACT as well.
The back end of FACT. I think that's what it's technically called, the back end. It's got quite a big back end, doesn't it?
Yeah, a big blank back end, yeah. And there's music. There's sort of quiet ambient music going on as well. That's great. So it's only when it's dark, like from 8:30 till 11 or something, every evening, I think. So check the dates on the website, because it's there for a while. It's well worth just going along with your mates and joining in.
Now, did you actually manage to have a look at any of the work that was inside the gallery?
Yes. There was the exhibition called Primitive, which is all video work. Only had a quick look at that. So, and again, it was very serious. I think we have to go and sit down and watch it in depth at another time. But in the media lounge, there's a really, really good piece. Zoetrope. Yeah. when he sings it spins round. It spins round, and there's static figures on a disc which spins round, and it's like strobe lights. So if you're affected by strobe light, it's not a good idea to go in there, because it's really, really heavy. And it's there's a loop of Michael Jackson sound, and they look like little Michael Jackson figures. So as it spins round and the strobe light's flashing, it just looks like they're dancing, but they're not, they're static, but it looks like they're dancing. We've seen similar work, I can't remember the artist's name, who's done a lot of works like this. We saw an exhibition of his a while ago, and I can't remember the artist who did this, but it's definitely very good.
Brilliant little piece. Really good fun. There was loads more stuff going on. So you want to mention Portable Pixel Playground?
Yeah, Portable Pixel Playground. This is one of the things that Folly are mainly involved in, which is aimed at kids, but we had great fun with it. It's a sand pit with a projection from above, which projects little insects crawling around the sand, and it somehow detects the height of the thing. So if you like, you can build a sort of path through the sand, and it'll follow the path, or you can get it to go onto your hand, and then you can lift your hand up, and it'll stay on your hand, and then you can put it back down again, it'll go off your hand onto the sand, and so again, interacting with this digital thing, and like every so often something will just splat it as well, a multicolored splatted creature. That's great fun. But it was only there Saturday afternoon, and it's but hopefully it'll pop up again from time to time. It's great fun.
And there was also, let's move on to the long night, otherwise we're going to be here, it'll be a long night for ourselves. The long night 2009. Now, but before we do, which is quite rude of me, the AND exhibitions that are taking place in FACT, they're going to continue for, I think, at least for another month, so it'd be worthwhile getting down to see those, including the strange Yes Men inflatable structures in the foyer, in the back foyer of FACT. Go on, tell us about Long Night 2009, or as we like to, yeah, go on, Long Night 2009. What did you get up to?
A fair bit. We didn't do too much. We fairly relaxed, didn't want to just whiz around everything and not see things properly. So, what did we do? I'm just reading my notes here, because we started off at Yeah, the S-Men, there's an exhibition and there was a conference and all kinds in the John Moores Art and Design Academy, the new building by the Metropolitan Cathedral. That exhibition goes on for a while. So we started off there. We had a quick look at that. That's really good. And you could, the videos are quite entertaining of the things that the Yes Men get up to. Then we went down to the Blue Coats because the Malcolm Lowry exhibition opened. It's a good exhibition featuring some really good artwork by local artists. And there was an art and craft fair going on in the courtyard as well. So that was good. Then we went across to Wolston Home Project. They had a thing sort of influenced by the whole Anne thing, but not really part of it. That was called Normal Service Will Resume. That was mainly video work. Then we went into 3345 Parr Street. There's a new exhibition there called Dig the New Breed, organised by Red House Originals. They do lots of sort of graphic artwork. And there was a Draw the Line event going on there as well, where you could just draw on paper on the tops of the tables there. Then we went up to FACT, because the Long Night also coincided with FACT 20 being 20 years old, and they were having a whole party going on there. So we had another look at the stuff going on in FACT, and there's a book, FACT released a book, all about their 20 years. Where else did we go? Then, yeah, we did rush a bit at the end because we had to get across to Oil Standard in the north end of the city. So we hopped in the car and got across to Oil Standard just in time. They've got an exhibition, which again is continuing for a while. It's called Some People Deserve Everything They Get. This is the exhibition of recent graduates from all around the country. Some good stuff there. 15 graduates. Then back across town to the A Foundation, basically just to chill out and watch some short films and listen to the music and generally party.
So did you put yourself forward for the taxed event at the A Foundation?
No, afraid not. Their taxed event this time was doing this 24 hours of interviews. We saw it going on there, and there was a couple of people waiting to be interviewed, so didn't want to hang around too long. But did you take part in that?
Okay, I did. The next morning I took part in it. I went down there and was interviewed, and I could have spoke for hours. So I nipped down there and did that. But the party at the A Foundation, I've heard, was very good fun, with a number of people getting very, very jolly indeed, and making themselves available of the artworks in the main hall. There was all sorts of stories I heard went on there. I'm like, shocked, really, by some of the things that go on.
We miss all that, because I don't like that. I make sure I leave before it gets too bad. When we were there, it was the first building. What's that? Is that the Coach House? I think it is. Massive empty space. So, but they just had a few chairs out, and they were showing these short films, and they were really good. That's been a lot of films I've seen recently. Just short stuff. It's great. So that was nice and quiet. And then the interviews were, I think they were 20 minutes each long. 20 minutes long each. But I don't know if we can hear them.
They're about repetition. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with them. I am going to make inquiries to see if I can get hold of all of them. See if I can make them available. But yeah, so it's kind of a certain amount of madness went on down at the A Foundation later on.
Yeah, but the long night was good overall. Yeah, I mean, I only mentioned a few things out of how many were there. Might have been 100 or something. All kinds of things. You could go do a tour of the Empire, and go up the Radio City Tower, all things like that. So we had our itinerary before we left, and pretty much stuck to that. So we saw lots of people that we were wearing our glow sticks, and we saw lots of people with their glow sticks around their necks and having a good time. I'm just not sure. People were asked to fill in forms, and they were counting how many people were attending. So it'd be interesting to see, how many people actually attended some of the events sort of on the periphery, whether they were well attended or not. So I hope they were, but I don't know.
Do you think it was a bit too late? It was a bit kind of like, we only found out about it really, it's kind of like, was it too late?
Maybe. I don't think there was a lot of build up. It was well organized, and there were really good leaflets with maps on and everything. But maybe people didn't actually know this was happening until a week or two before. This is the second one, does say it's now an annual thing. So if it's going to happen every year, then it needs to be clearly stated throughout the year that this is going to come up, and people can be more prepared for it.
I think it's one of the things that Art in Liverpool ought to run in. Anyway, now that I've said that, let's move on. So tell us briefly, as we've been talking a lot about Anne and various other different things, Bridget Riley flashback at the Walker. You said you went. Tell us, what's that like?
Yeah, we went to the press view on the morning of the Thursday before the long night, and it's really good. Bridget Riley was there, tried to interview her, but famously she doesn't normally do interviews, but she did actually agree to do one, but then just in the end she said, well, it's better if we just talk about it ourselves, basically. She just doesn't like to talk about her own work, I think. Fair enough. That
sounds a bit like me.
yeah, but she did sort of talk sort of off air. And it's interesting because it's called Flashback, and the Flashback is really a series of exhibitions that from the Arts Council collection.
The Arts Council, they've got a collection? No.
That's right, yes, and occasionally they let people see.
Is it stored at the Hayward Gallery?
I think it very might be, because there was also somebody there from the Hayward, because they organise the exhibition and it goes on tour, but it's not a huge tour. I think it's going to 3 or 4 venues, to Birmingham and then somewhere down south, something like that. So Flashback is, these series of exhibitions where they just show some of their collection one of the artists who they've got loads of stuff. But the exhibition isn't all stuff from the Arts Council collection. It's some of the works are, some are Bridget Riley's own works that are in her own stuff, and others on loan from different places. And I think there's like 8 paintings, and what's maybe different about this exhibition is there's some of her drawings, some of her proprietary sketches. You know, she does go a whole huge process to get these works to work. have the visual effect that is so such a feature of her work. So it's interesting. And they were saying now that what the Arts Council do for their collection is sometimes they have a committee that goes out and looks at goes around the exhibitions, and they meet up and decide what they actually purchase. And a lot of it's about purchasing work by fairly new artists, not new graduates, but artists who are just getting established, and by buying one of their works. And it must obviously help them in their career. If you're in the Arts Council collection, you've been purchased by the Arts Council, then that looks good on your CV, and it means you get exhibited occasionally, and that's good.
It is good. It is good. It's about time that the Arts Council, and I don't say this lightly, it's about time that we got our collection out and actually showed it around, as they do keep a very tight lock and key on it. Oh, it needs to be kept very precious. Anyway, I'll have to go down and have a look at this Bridget Riley show, because it sounds really good, and I'm not really that familiar with her work, but I really like the image. Anyway, The Blue Coat, just to finish off Roundup of the Week. Under the Volcano, an exhibition for Malcolm Larry. What's that like?
Yeah, it's good. We did just whiz around quite quickly. We picked up the catalogue so I can study it more. Malcolm Larry is this writer who was brought up on the Wirral. He used to live in New Brighton and then somewhere else. And he wrote this book, Under the Volcano, which is really seminal work, apparently. Influenced the art scene to a great degree, all kinds of arts, music, dance, etc. And so they got together various artists to display work. And I hadn't realised the book is sort of a lot of it's about the Mexican Day of the Dead thing. And so a lot of the artwork is pretty dark. There's lots of skeletons, lots of skulls. There's Adrian Henry's Day of the Dead thing, or
with Pierre Ubu in it,
I think so. Yeah, and there's even 2 or 3 versions of it, and quite a few of his artworks with these skeletons and things dancing around. And another guy, I think, is Julian Cooper's done some really nice big paintings referencing the book. And other artists, Paul Rooney has done one of his videos, but we didn't have time to see that. It looked like he created sort of a drama about marketing or something. It looks very interesting, but we'll have to go and have a look at that another time. Yes, that's good. And the catalogue stroke book is, looks like a good read as well, so buy a copy.
Okay, talking about marketing. There you go, there's a roundup of the week. This week, coming up this week, Ian, after the busyness of the last 2 weeks, and after that very, very busy. So, what's coming up this week? We'll keep it short, won't we? But what's coming up this week?
Yeah, big, taking a breath now, aren't we? After the and long night and all that. But there's always things going on. There's this Thursday at the A Foundation, new exhibition there by Haroon Mirza. Don't much about it. I've seen, we've had one image which looks interesting, a big glass cube dug into a chair. Don't know what if that'll be in it. It says Meza considers the acoustic and the visual of equal significance in his work. Okay. Also, actually, I just remembered, when you go and see that at the Ear Foundation on Thursday, you can also pop along to the Contemporary Urban Centre across the road, because they're relaunching. They've got a new website, new marketing team, new this, that, and the other, and they're going to announce their programme events coming up. But you do need to RSVP. Let them know you're coming, basically. It's not open to everybody, but yeah, CUC relaunch from, I think, 6 till 9 o'clock on Thursday evening. Go to our website. Yeah, you'll find details somewhere. And just let them know you're coming. Also,
Thursday, the 1st of October. As far as I heard last week when I was talking to Bryony, but she said she's leaving the A Foundation. You didn't know. I mean, I only found out because I was chatting to her, but she doesn't seem to have been at the A Foundation 5 minutes and already she's going. Maybe a year, maybe she's been there.
Yeah, I think it's about a year, maybe a bit more. Yeah, Bryony Bond is she's been curating these recent exhibitions and the taxed thing that's been going on. Yeah, no, I didn't know. But yeah, wonder what's happening. I hope. See who replaces her.
Yeah, well, all the best to her and good luck. Okay, Friday the 2nd of October, looking back, facing forward, this is this exhibition opens at the VG&M, that's the Victoria Gallery and Museum, which is part of the University of Liverpool. Is it the Victoria Gallery and Museum? Have I pronounced that correctly?
That's correct, yes, in the old Victoria building. Remember, they used to have a small gallery in Abercrombie Square, didn't they? But they moved, they've got this massive place now in the Victoria building, and it's Pete Clark, well-known Liverpool artist over many years. He's the senior lecturer or something at UCLan, and does the collaborations with Cologne through the 8 Days a Week project. So yeah, it's a solo exhibition of Pete Clark, which opens on Friday, the 2nd of October.
That's brilliant. That's coming up at the Victoria Gallery Museum, Friday the 2nd. And also that very same night, that very same evening, Magdalena Odundu, solo exhibition. I'm hoping that's how you pronounce it. This is taking place at the Blue Coat Display Centre. So it's a private view from 5:30 to 7:30. Tell us, what's it about?
Yeah, the Blue Coat Display Centre, always good shows there. Arty, crafty, craft work, jewellery and so on. But I don't know what Magdalena Odundu, what her specific thing is. Oh, ceramics. There we are. Yeah, sorry, I should know because it says she's renowned ceramics. I think she'll be doing talks as well. And new forms in metal as well, seen for the first time in the UK. So that should be good. Yeah, from 5:30 to 7:30 on Friday, Blue Coat Display Centre.
Excellent. Okay, let's see now. That's on Friday. And there's this Joyous Machines, Michael Landy and Jean Tingley.
Yeah.
Jean, I so apologise, Jean.
It's okay. He won't hear because he died in 1991. but Michael Landy, I still haven't figured out how this is working, whether it's Jean Tingley's work that Michael Landy is just reconstructing, or whether Michael Landy has more input than that and is creating his own work as well, or what. So it's a mixture of Michael Landy and Jean Tingley called Joyous Machines. Michael Landy was greatly influenced by Jean Tingley's work. So we'll find out. there's viewings for members of Tate on the Thursday, and it opens to public on the Friday the 2nd.
So is he going to be smashing up Jean Tingley's work and sticking it through a hopper?
I hope not. Yeah, that's what Michael Landy is quite well known for. He destroyed every single thing that he owned or something in a shop window in London. He just took everything, car and credit cards, everything, and put them onto a conveyor belt and went into a crusher, yeah.
Great. Okay, now, also opening on Friday the 2nd of October at Tate Liverpool, Mark Rothko, The Seagram Murals. What do you know about that, then?
Yeah, this will be on the that space on the ground floor, you know, when you go in. There's a big space there where the Sol de Witt thing painting was. Now it's the Seagram Murals by Rothko. There's 9 paintings. I don't know the history of the Seagram Murals, to be honest. They're from about 20 years ago. That's right. They were the first things to be shown in Liverpool Tate when it opened in 1988. So yeah, over 20 years later, they're being shown again. And very significant emotive works of his 9 paintings called the Sea. I don't know why they call the Seagram Murals.
Yeah, we will find out because the show's not open yet. How are you meant to know? The show, it's not open. We'll find out. Now, also this Friday, Friday the 2nd, from 4 till 6, quite a strange time, from 4 till 6, How We Work. Now, How We Work, that's the name of the show, and this is the show is actually at Blackburn House. I know how Blackburn House work, but what's the show about?
Yeah, maybe it's 4 till 6 because the caretaker likes to go home at 6 o'clock. Happens in some places, but that's okay. It's a feminist art exhibition. 13 or so Liverpool women artists. And it's been curated by a second-year student, fine arts student at Liverpool Community College called Sarah Stone. She's got gathered together 13 women to put on artwork that's it's feminist or feminine. I think they're all local artists. Some are in the Soup collective. Some aren't. But it should be good. The viewing is 4 till 6 on Friday, 2nd of October, and it probably runs throughout October.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, finally, coming up this week, New Village Fete. Coming up at Heebie-Jeebies. This takes place once every month. Tell us a little bit more. I've still not managed to make it down there, but I've heard they are quite fantastic.
Yeah, I just thought we'd mention this as a reminder, really, because it has been going on every month since... early summer at Heebie-Jeebies, and it's on Saturday, normally the first Saturday of the month, so it's this Saturday, 3rd of October, from around, we're not exactly certain of the times, but it's normally 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And yeah, it's art and crafts, really good stuff on the ground floor and also the first floor, and they usually have bands playing. And we only discovered this when we went to the fair, that there's a courtyard in the middle of Heebie-Jeebies, and they have bands there and a barbecue there, and it's a very nice day. And you can get drinks from the bar as well. A bit cooler now, it's October, but it should be good.
And that is this week. Further ahead, Ian, further ahead, there is other stuff coming up, clearly, obviously. The world will not end. But further ahead, what's coming up further ahead? What's big that's going on in the city? What was on last year that we had a really good time at? What's going on?
Dada Fest
to you too, mate. What's all that about?
Dada Fest is the festival of art festival for deaf and disabled people. They changed their website, dadahello.com. You're there, you'll find all the information. I think they've just announced the full program, so it's all up there. And last year mostly took place at Gay Foundation, but this year it isn't. It's at various venues, including Contemporary Urban Center and Blue Coat and Unity. So yeah, they have like visual art exhibitions, they have dance, music, theater, all kinds of stuff. And they also have like an awards at the end, so it runs from around mid-October, I think, right through November to early December, when they have the awards ceremony at the end. Mainly November at various venues. So yeah, go to dadahello.com and find the details there.
Or you can also follow them on Twitter, I believe. Whatever this Twitter thing might be, I don't know. What's their Twitter handle?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, you can go to dadahello.com and find out, can't you? Because they were talking about it today. They're releasing the program, but they do have a fine program. See the guy with the skateboards back. I can't remember his name. They do have an award ceremony which took place last year at the arena, Liverpool Echo Arena. It was really well attended and lots of good fun as well. It was very good night. Very good night indeed. Any other fine details there?
There's a Young Dada Fest exhibition in the World Museum, Liverpool. They're involved as well. What else have we got? The Magic Hour. Is that a collection? Is it a film? No, a fact, must be, I think. Film at fact. The Magic Hour, a collection of extraordinary stories from disabled filmmakers. What else? Young Dada Fest again. Crossing Theatre. Unity Theatre. There's quite a few things at Unity Theatre, I noticed. You can get, there's a link on Unity Theatre on my Hope Street blog.
Your Hope Street blog? Have you got another blog, Ian? How do you ever manage to do all this?
Yeah, hopestreet.co.uk. It's all happening on Hope Street, as they say on all the adverts, which is true.
It's all happening on Hope Street, which Ian says on his blog. And don't forget to listen out for the Hope Street podcast anytime soon.
Lots going on the Blue Coat as well. Diverse mix of poets, Dadfest poets at the Blue Coat. Magic Mirror Ball, Music Cabaret, Fancy Dress Encouraged. Where's that? The Tate. All right. Little Liverpool Tate. When's that then? 26th of November. So that's a note for your diary. The last Thursday in November is another Later Tate, which includes the Dada Fest Magic Mirror Ball.
Well, on that note, Magic Mirror Balls from Dada. Hello, Ian. I'd like to say it's been a busy week last week. Looks like it's going to be another busy week this week. And November, when Dada, I don't want to say Dada Fest, when Dada Hello is on, then it will be again once more quite busy. But for this week, I'd like to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd like to say thank you very much to you for listening. And goodbye.
Thanks for downloading from DeafNet Media.